Welcome to Central Life Church. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.
One thing, eh? Isn't God awesome? Yeah, it's an amazing thing that, you know, when you're looking for God, He appears. You know, a little child walks up. You've just read a scripture. A little child walks up and stands over Luke. It's amazing. I often drive down the road and I'm looking at, I look at number plates a bit and things like that. And we're following a car last night and it said, "You are great." I went, "Thanks, Lord, that's nice." "You are great." I just loved it. Oh, God is so good. Well, this morning, I want to sort of start where Anthony finished a few weeks back on the armor of God. And I want to sort of start there this morning. But before we do... the last phrase that Paul says there in Ephesians 6, so if you go to Ephesians chapter 6, and he uses this last little phrase to encourage the church, and I really want to use this phrase this morning to begin my encouragement for your church this morning, and that is, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now, let me say the way that I think he meant it. "Now, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Yeah? That's different, isn't it? That's what I think he meant. I don't think he was being like, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." He wasn't like that. "Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." We've got to have an assurance on the inside of us that this word is for us. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Yep. There's something you can stand on when you say it like that. Oftentimes we say very quiet prayers. "Oh Lord, I hope you hear me. I hope you can hear me in heaven." And he's sort of sitting up on the throne thinking, "Speak up, son. Lord, I know that you've heard me." Jesus stood out the front of a tomb with a dead man who had laid in it for 4 days. "Father, I know that you have heard me. I don't say that for my sake, but for the people who are standing around." Jesus was bold when he prayed. He was bold. He knew the assurance that his Father had given him. "I don't like this new iPad. It turns off on me just when I'm about to..." Turn with me, if you would, to the book of James, towards the end of your Bible. I love that. Good, good, good. So here in James 1, I love that. All right. Who said church wasn't fun? All right, James here, 1, verses 2 to 4. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let that patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Oftentimes we go through our difficulties and our trials and we can't wait to get out of the other end. And a friend of mine used to say, "If you're going through hell, don't stop." I agree with that. "Oh, I'm standing in the fire. Oh, it's a bit warm in here. Yes. Don't stop. Keep moving forward. But take those things that God takes us through and say, man, what can I learn from that? What can I take into my future? And I tell you, God doesn't put you through anything that he doesn't have a use for in your future. You might think, man, this happened to me or that happened to me. How can God use that? God can use that because you'll be able to reach out to somebody else who is going through that exact same thing. It's an incredible thing that God can use these things. You know, we don't come from a defensive position. We're not on the back foot. See, a lot of Christians think that we're out of here because the devil's going to come in kicking the front door in, so the church has got to take off out the back door. Jesus will pluck us all up and we'll all be gone. Rubbish. We're going to kick in his front door. God is building his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We're going in and kicking the devil's front door in. Out of the way, devil. I remember reading a story once. I think it was Martin Luther or one of those guys was asleep in bed. The devil showed up at his foot of his bed and he's growling at him and carrying on. He woke up, looked at him with one eye and went, oh, it's just you. Went back to sleep. You've got to understand who we are. We're not coming from a defensive position. We are on the offensive, church. We are taking back the devil's ground and giving it back to the kingdom of God, where it should have been in the first place. Amen? That's our job. Our job is to bring the kingdom of heaven to the earth. Is it not? Three of us. Good. We can take the planet. It's just true. But this is what the scriptures say to us. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Walk by faith and not by sight. Be strong and of great courage. You know, after the last few months, we've been talking about putting on the armor of God. Well, put it on. Why are you putting on armor? Because you're going to war. Hello. Never take it off. Never take it off. Always be shod. Always have your breastplate on. Always be ready for an answer to the gospel. Always. Why do you believe in that God? That's awesome, Stephen. That's awesome. He's out in the dark place saying, man, my God is awesome. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Never convince us otherwise. We are to be strong and of good courage, church. Turn with me to the Old Testament. I'm going to flick around in the Bible a bit today. I hope you don't mind. We're going to go back to Joshua. We're going to talk about a little bit about Joshua. We'll talk a bit about David. Going to go to Joshua and we're going to go to chapter 1 and we're going to go verse 6. Verse 6, I'm reading out of the NKJV, the New King James Version. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Number 2, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Number 3, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Highlight that in your Bible, church. Things haven't changed none. What has God said? We will remember and meditate on it, and we will go and do that. I don't want a good idea, church. I want a God idea. I want to hear from heaven, and we'll do that. Amen? So if you come to us with an idea that we say, sorry, that's not for now, that's okay. That's got to be okay. Because we're going to listen for God. Amen? And we're going to go with that. If we're wrong, he'll slap me up the side of the head. It'll be all right. Yeah? We will follow God. And we will follow after his ways. But we will remember his word, be strong and of good courage. We will strengthen ourselves in the Lord. We will encourage ourselves in the Lord. And we will remember who it is that is in our lives. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll not be defeated here. He has already won. The victory has been given to us. We're just walking it out. That's all it is. Church, we're at a time when we must stand firm, stable in our footing. That is in Jesus Christ. And be very courageous. God has told us to stake the ground deep like no one else has done before in this area. And we plan to do just that. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I believe that God, that he is true, that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I believe, church, that he is for us and with us to build this church, this house, for his name's sake, for the furtherance of his kingdom. Courage is not the absence of fear. It is the ability to act in spite of it. In other words, courage acts by faith. We'll speak by faith. We'll talk by faith. We'll walk by faith. We will simply believe God. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So we will believe God. Amen. How good is that? You're preaching good, Keith. You know, don't be surprised when the giants come out to call you out. Don't be surprised. Don't be shocked. Don't be, oh, Lord, what's happening? You go, oh, yeah, okay, he's overplaying his hand again. The devil always overplays his hand, every single time. Know when to fold him, know when to hold him, know when to walk away. He don't know when to walk away. He don't know. He'll just stand there yabbering on, da-ra-ra-rah. And you're saying, shut up, devil. Be quiet. This is what the Lord has said. That's normally when he'll shut up. Oop. But don't be surprised. Don't be shocked when the giant shows up. The giant says, you can't defeat me. But we say, God says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The giant says, you can't prosper. God says, the Lord makes me rich and adds no sorrow to it. The giant says, you can't do that. God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The giant says, you can't be healed. And God says, by his stripes you were healed. I think I could raise somebody from the dead about now. The word of God is the truth. Use the word of God to fight the giant. Don't use your own words. Use God's word. They can't fight against God's word. It's a law in heaven. Can't do it. So we use it. Turn with me to Samuel. 1 Samuel 17. You'll know where most of you will know where I'm going with this. 1 Samuel 17, verses 4 to 11. Again, I'm out of the KJV. NKJV. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. 6 cubits would have been enough. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of silver. This was a big dude. And he had a bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. I don't know what that was for, but anyway, it sounds impressive. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. That was huge. And his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And the spear bearer went before him. Then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel and he said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines stared. "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and the armies heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and they greatly afraid. Duh. You got a 10'6" guy come through the door and he says, "I'm going to kill you, Pastor. I'm going to be a tad afraid." Especially if he's holding a gun. Happens. Not 10'6", but still. You're going to be a bit afraid when the giant comes. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with feeling fear. You feel hot, you feel cold, you feel fear. It's a feeling. Like all feelings, they don't tend to kill you. Acting on them may. Fear's not a problem. I love Joyce Meyer. I've listened to her for years, but she has this little saying. She says, "Fear is false evidence appearing real." I like that because that's the truth. You know, it's like gossip is the argument set around a lie. Don't go there, church. We don't gossip. It's not appropriate for children of God to gossip. We don't go there. We pray for one another. We love one another. We encourage one another. We uplift one another. We do not camp around a lie. We camp around the truth. Amen? And the truth will set you free. I want you to turn, go down to verse 40. "Then he took his staff in his hand and he chose for himself," this is David. David now, David's going down, he's going to fight Goliath, little kid. It's Little Sticks. Where's Little Sticks? Oh, he's in kids' church. Little Sticks comes in, he's going to go and fight the giant. Yeah. He's going to come and fight the giant. So he goes and he picks up his 5 smooth stones. Anyone who knows anything about numerics will know 5 stands for grace. And he put them in a shepherd's bag, of course, because he was a shepherd, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him, and when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking, just like me. So the Philistines said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword and a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I'll strike you and take you your head from you. That's the answer. That's the answer. Doesn't matter what comes against you, they're coming against God. Understand that. God is in you. Did not Jesus say, I shall be in them, they shall be in me. And we shall be one. As me and my Father are one. So when the giants come out against us, they're really coming out against God. And when we understand that, we know our position. Our position is not to be prideful or arrogant, boastful, but it is to be confident in the Lord our God. And we should always hold our confidence in Christ. He will never let you down. He will never leave you nor forsake you. That's always the answer to the giant. Is an answer by faith. By faith, we will answer the giants. By faith, we answer them. And we speak to the mountain. We speak to the valleys. By faith. Nothing happens. Let me put it this way. Faith is the currency of heaven, right? It's your dollars. They are your dollars. The amount of faith that you carry is your dollars. It's your exchange between you and heaven. And you speak by faith, heaven answers. And we'll tell a testimony in a few weeks about that. But when you speak by faith, prayerfully to God, God answers because he has to, because you're transacting by faith. And it is the currency of heaven. So it doesn't matter what you're coming against or what's in your life or what you need right now. Speak those things that are not as though they are. Because the world being formed void was void, and God spoke those things that weren't as though they are. And we are told in Romans to do exactly the same thing. Let the weak say, let the poor say, oh. You can feel it. You feel it in the spirit. I was driving over to Erina yesterday, and I was with Diane and Kiralee, and I just had this thought pop into my head. What do you see in the spirit? I want to tell you something, church. You'll never understand the kingdom of heaven through your head. God won't transact with your head. He just won't. He won't argue with it. He won't fight with you. He won't get into vain arguments about all sorts of things, because he's God. He already knows the answer. Doesn't need us to tell him. But he's really interested in getting into our hearts. He wants a heart relationship with us, because he's about love. And love is always about your heart. It's never about your head. In fact, people in love, they've normally lost their brain. Oh, I'm in love. It's gone. They're all starry-eyed. It's just the truth. And we know it. And yet we try and understand the Bible with our brain. Hello. It ain't going to work. It's about love. It's about the Spirit of God. It's about faith. Why? Because God is a spirit. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit. The flesh counts for nothing. Words of Jesus. God's interested in our hearts. And it's in our hearts. You mean you'll stand up for something you love. You'll have courage for something you love. Somebody comes up against my wife, they're going to have to go through me. Good luck. I can fight pretty good, can't I, Dave? You know, something you love, you'll fight for. That's the truth of it. You'll fight for the thing you love. I love this church. So we'll fight for it, amen? We'll fight for it. We'll fight for believing in faith that we're going forward, amen? We're going to believe in faith that God's going to draw people from the north, south, and east, and the west exactly as he said he would do. We're going to believe that people are going to come here who once were pastors and leaders who now don't, but we're going to bind up their wounds. We're going to heal them. We're going to restore them. We're going to say, go and plant a church, will you? Go and build the kingdom of God. Do what you're called to do. Go and preach. Go on missionary trips. Go to the United States. Go to the Philippines. Go to Indonesia. Go to the furthest parts of the earth. That's what we're called to do, church. I'm excited. I turned off again. Anyway, it's all good. I sort of want to finish here in Revelations. So I've gone almost from Genesis Revelations, not quite. So in the book of Revelations, if you would turn to it with it with me, within it, whatever. You know what I mean. Go there. For those who are looking for that scripture about speaking those things are not as though they are, that's Romans 4 verse 17, if you're taking notes. Okay, so where am I here? Revelations 12. Okay, Revelations 12 and verse 11. Okay. Revelations 12 and verse 11. All right. Be good if I was in the right place. It's funny when you start reading something, you go, I'm sure that's not what I read, you know. And I was reading, now after 3.5 days, the breath of life came from God and entered them. Going, that's not quite the scripture I was looking for. But anyway, chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to death. I might read that out of the Amplified. And they overcame and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. For they did not love their life and renounce their faith, even when faced with death. We've got to keep our faith, church. If anything else, keep our faith. We've got to know who we are in God and what we've been called to do. We're going to take this place for the kingdom of God. We've got a whole area up there, the whole of Watanabe. We've got Wadalba. We've got Hamelin Terrace. We've got the Central Coast. We'll have people coming from down south. We'll have people coming from north. Doesn't matter where they come from. But what we're praying for are builders. People who've come to build. Will you build with us, church? Build. We want builders, people who can build. Put their hand to the plow and say, let's go. And we do it all by faith, out of love for one another. Love one another. Care for one another. If you hear that somebody's ill, ring them up and pray for them. Don't expect the paid holy man to do it. I'm not even paid. Neither's Anthony. We'll love you and we'll pray for you, of course. Pray for one another. Love one another. Care for one another. And encourage one another. And go in the strength that you have. You might think that you're, you know, when the angel came to Gideon and said, "Oh, mighty man of valor," he went, "Who? Me? I am the least in my house. My house is the least in the tribe. The tribe is the least in Israel." The angel completely ignores him, doesn't even answer any of those things, and he just says, "Go on the strength that you have. Go on the strength that you have by faith. And you will see great and mighty things. God will show his miraculous works in ways that you are barely or scarcely will understand." I'm believing for it, church. I can't wait to raise that first person from the dead. I tell you, don't die on me just now, if you wouldn't mind. Don't know that I want to test it right now. Though if you do, I will pray for you. But I tell you what, church, if we raise one person from the dead, the church will be full next week. If blind eyes were open, we'd have a full church the following week. If the deaf are here, we'll have a full church next week. I want to tell you, where there's life and where there's the power of God, people will come. So I'm praying for that, for this church. The power of God would be evident from the preaching of the word, from the music, from everything, that the power of God would just shine through us. Amen? Let's just finish in prayer. Father, we just thank you so much that we have been given this great opportunity of building a church and building a house for you here at North Wyong. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that you will strengthen us, encourage us, and give us great courage that we would take your word out into this community and into the nation of Australia and out to the outermost parts of the earth. Father, we'd ask you would draw to us builders, a people who wish to build your kingdom, who've laid down their own agenda and even their own lives, that they might take up the call to build the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, church. I think we've got an announcement, do we?
Thank you for joining us today. Central Life Church is an Australian independent church meeting at Unit B5, 4 Dalmerston Avenue, North Wyong, New South Wales. For further information, go to our website at www.centrallife.com.au. Email us at contactus@centrallife.com.au.